Hey, very quick addendum to this whole episode. I actually realized I went on for a bit longer than I thought I would. So just in case you want to jump straight ahead to this manifesto, mission statement, and belief side of it, you can, if you don't want to hear about my updates, obviously I think they're worth sharing. Otherwise, I wouldn't be publishing it. But you can jump straight to about minute 19, 20 or so if you want to jump straight to that. All right, thanks. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Ice Cream for Everyone podcast. This is Willem van der Horst, your host for the show. It's already been a couple, almost 3 months since my last episode. We are well into 2019, even though it feels like Christmas and New Year was just yesterday. I don't know about you guys, but, and you know, this is a regular kind of feeling. It's not rocket science or brand new, but things have just gone so fast. I cannot believe it. I thought I would have done a lot of the work I'm about to share with you way earlier in the year. But I got busy with a bunch of other things, and I don't know if it's because I want to do a lot of different things at the same time or what. And I mean, I don't mean to be complaining. I certainly am not in a position to do that, given the really, really cool trips I've been up to. So this is like me kickstarting 2019 for the podcast, even though it's March already. And I have been working on a number of things, writing. I've updated my website, and I wrote something between a manifesto and a mission statement for Ice Cream for Everyone. And I wrote a bunch of stuff I personally believe in. So I wanted to share all of that with you and do a general update. And all of that is really in service of detailing what this podcast is about, what I believe in. And who I am as a strategist and as a consultant, like what kind of services I want to provide. So I'm developing a lot of stuff. There's still a lot of work to do in that direction, but I've been meaning to do that for a while. And it's not changing anything that I've done in the past, but it's refining a lot of what I've shared before about what Ice Cream for Everyone is about. And like a whole brand new text that I'd never written before that I've been thinking about for several months. And I had recorded something a couple of months ago, but the recording didn't work properly, and it gave me actually more time to really ponder and work on it. And I may well amend it a little bit more, but there was a conversation I had with my friend Alfie last year, who was on one of the episodes about Evil Corp, who had asked me the year before that even, like what the podcast was about, and I had jotted some stuff down about creativity. But since then, I spent some more time thinking about it, and I got to somewhere a little bit more refined, I feel. So this is going to be me talking about what's going on. I don't have a guest in this particular episode, but I'm going to be sharing a lot of this new thing I wrote about what Ice Cream for Everyone is about. But a bit of an update on just what I've been up to. I thought I'd share a little bit of that beforehand. And it was just like checking through the couple of episodes I posted at the end of last year. I don't think I'm repeating myself. I might repeat myself, but just what I've been up to in the past few months. So first, at the end of last year, I had a couple of freelance gigs. So I'm still freelancing and I'm actively looking for work right now. I'm looking to be freelancing and or working with new clients. So developing strategy work. And I'll come back to that particular point after I've shared what this kind of mission statement or manifesto, I guess a manifesto, even though I don't like the term manifesto, they tend to be bland. I hope I haven't done that. I might have a little bit, but it's been a really useful exercise for myself to look at what matters to me, what I believe in, what is this about. And at the end of last year in Chicago, I freelanced with an agency called The Escape Pod. So a creative advertising agency, a small independent agency here out of Chicago that are all about, their thing is all about bringing brand value to life in the most dramatic way possible. We dramatize what brands are about. I can't remember exactly how they formulate it, but they've done cool work in the past. I've worked on a pitch with them that I've really enjoyed. I'm not sure where it went since. It was a food brand, so I'm interested in doing more work in the food industry, so that was really great, like for an up-and-coming brand, and it was a lot of fun. I did some research online, and I was like given pretty much free leeway to work on a number of different projects and gave in hand like what I believe the strategy should be about. Talked to people who came around for a focus group and did some online research around different parts of the U.S. With a survey. So it's all done like kind of quick and, you know, as you do for a pitch work, but it was a lot of fun. It was a really great project. And then I got to work with FCB here in Chicago on Kimberly Clark. Kimberly Clark on a U.S. and global level, depending on the project I was working on. But I was working on an innovation project on Cottonelle, so I got to know and learn way more about toilet paper than I ever thought I would ever, which is part of the thing I really enjoy as a strategist, and I enjoy plugging in and working with the different kinds of clients. The variety and learning about different industries is just fascinating. So that was fantastic. I really enjoyed it. And a small project I helped on Kleenex as well, working on a trends presentation. So that was great. And then published the last couple of episodes of the podcast, Christmas in France, which was amazing. I got to spend Christmas with the family and catch up with a lot of friends in Paris. And I got to go ski a few days in the French Alps in the Trois Vallées. I was in Les Menuires. Because I have these two, just invested in these two season ski passes. As you might have heard, or if you follow me on social media, you'll have seen a lot of photos of skiing. I spent a lot of energy and effort and money and time into skiing the past 3 years since I got back into it. I'm really, really loving it. And that pass included days in France, in Europe, in different resorts in Europe, including the Trois Vallées that they tout as the largest skiable area in the world. And it's seven different resorts that are connected across, they call it three valleys, but it's really four, I think. And 166 connected lifts. The area is just absolutely mind-boggling huge. It covers Courchevel, Méribel, and different villages, La Tania, Val Thorens, Les Menuires, and Aurel. It hadn't snowed in about 12 days, but still it's just absolutely gorgeous. So quite thin snow cover, a lot of kind of pebbles and dirt, ice on my brand new skis that I wasn't too crazy about, but it was just beautiful. A brand new hostel as hope, and that's another thing I'll be sharing at some other point. I shared on Facebook, and a lot of people got back to me about this because I learned that from ex-colleagues from BBDO in Chicago, there was a rumor going around the office that I was just stupid wealthy and very rich. I mean, I think I'm rich, but I'm not financially rich. I do well. I do okay. And probably a lot better than most. I mean, compared to the general or minimum wage, let's say, right? But compared to the general population in marketing and advertising, or for my age, I don't think I'm doing particularly amazing. But I've chosen to live my life in this particular fashion. And one of them is the way I travel. So I have invested in those season passes. But I went to this particular ski resort because a brand new hostel opened up and it was 25 euros a night. And the lift pass was already paid for. And I made food while I was at the hostel and it cost me 25 euros a night. And the train down there from Paris was like a couple of $100 and 25 euros or something like that, or 24 for the transfer bus from the train station to the resort that dropped me off in front of the hostel. And then I didn't have anything to spend. I just, you know, I had literally brought snacks with me to bring on the slopes. I think I had like a couple of coffees on the slopes here and there. I didn't do anything lavish. A couple of beers here and there. But yeah, anyway, I'll talk about that a lot longer. It's just a little bit of a tangent. I was not planning on talking about that right now. And I had planned just before leaving that while I didn't have any freelance work lined up, and as I said, I had these two season passes. So I was like, well, why don't I just go ski? It's winter and I have access to all these areas. So I planned a 6 week long ski trip in some of the most gorgeous and iconic resorts and towns and mountains in North America, and planned it around where I was going to be staying with friends and where I could find budget accommodation. And it was just mind blowing. I had such a blast. It was amazing. I spent a week in Whistler Blackcomb. I'd never been around there. I thought it was a beautiful spot, but it is very, very busy. So I didn't care all that much for it. These are very entirely luxury first world problems to be had between which is the most gorgeous ski resort I went to. And I got my branded skis. So I have ice cream for everyone branded skis. You can go back to the episode a couple of episodes ago I have with Mike McCabe, the co-founder of Folsom Skis, the custom ski makers who made my skis out of Denver, Colorado. After that I went to Banff. So I did a few different resorts in Alberta, Canada, Alberta, and British Columbia. Banff, Sunshine, Lake Louise, so like a bit of a road trip at the same time. And Kicking Horse and Revelstoke. And then I went to see a friend who lives in Reno. And so from there, I was commuting around Lake Tahoe. I've never been around Lake Tahoe. It was absolutely just gorgeous. And I did Squaw Valley, Alpine Meadows, Heavenly, North Star. And that's it. That's quite a bit. I wanted to go to Kirkwood, but there was a storm that started and the roads closed. And that last day of storm, I was in North Star. And that was really my second time skiing really in snow, and not super deep, but deep-ish, a little bit like just kind of skiing powder, and learning to do that last minute. And then I flew over and kind of followed the storm to Snowbird out of Salt Lake City. And that I had such a blast. It was not elegant or anything, but I really had a lot of fun just like skiing in deep snow. It's just such a pleasure. And I really love this. I think what I love the most about skiing, I mean, aside from it's like there's tons to learn to master. And it's the first time a physical activity becomes so important in my life, pretty much. I really love that you have to be in control enough, but you have to let go enough. And I'm kind of striving for that balance and that kind of balance point where I guess you reach this idea of flow, which is a book I read about, but I haven't read. But I really love that. And I tend to overthink everything. Like I'm in my head, like a lot of other strategists. If you're a strategist, you can listen to this. Or if you're not a strategist, you might be in your head too. You have to be out of your head. You can't overly pay attention to your thoughts. But you also can't let go completely, because if you let go completely, you're just sliding without any control and you just fall. And if you overthink everything, then you just like over control and you fall too. So I find it a just fascinating thing to learn. And I got a lot better over the course of like the 30 plus days I skied. And by the end of it, a friend told me that I was a solid advanced intermediate, and that I went fast, and that I could probably trick like an instructor or someone into thinking I'm more advanced than I am in the first place, because I'm willing to pretty much go on all the terrain. So I go fast on like groomed runs, but I don't particularly go fast. Now I can do black diamonds, which I couldn't really do before. I still have tons to progress on to do short turns, tight turns, and I don't go very fast on steeps and bumps, but I'm just really enjoying learning more of it. We'll see where it takes me next year. I'm not entirely sure I'll do the same thing. I'd love to spend more time in the mountains. And I had grand ambitions to be developing my website, doing a lot of reading and writing and studying while I was traveling, and I did very little of it. I did prepare a guest edition of Ferris and Rosie Yaakov's newsletter, Strands of Genius, if you know them from Genius Steals, and I've had some really good feedback from it, so that's amazing. And I'm working on relaunching my own newsletter, it's about time, on the back of this thing that I'm just doing now. I'll add the link to the newsletter in the show notes. So a lot of people told me it was really great, so that was cool. There's a lot about my skiing. You can see my skis and links and stories that are kind of ski and mountain related in different interesting ways. And one of the links was about one of the things I'm up to at the moment, which is listening to, and I've been meditation, a meditation app that I got, the Sam Harris Waking Up course. So Sam Harris is somebody I quite like. I do like quite a bit. I listen to his podcast, and he's quite a controversial figure. I think that it's a lot of it is overdone, overblown media stuff taken out of proportions. But then again, you might disagree with some of his ideas, but I just really like the amount of the wide range. I like his thinking. I like his books. I've read only two books so far, Islamic Dialogue and Waking Up, A Guide to Spirituality Without Religion, which is kind of like where then what became his app. I've been meditating for a couple of years, and I was doing mostly unguided for 20 minutes a day for the past 2 years. First as part of a course I was doing, another course, and with Landmark, and then was still in the past year meditating by myself, unguided. And he published this app, and I picked it up, and I'm really enjoying now I'm doing 10 minutes a day, and he has like these talks in the app about a wide range of topics around the self, around consciousness, around yourself and others. And he approaches different kinds of exercises, and without any of the, you know, he takes from all traditions of meditation without any of the religious stuff, which I like. What else I've been reading and watching? I've been listening to quite a few episodes of Mark Pollard's podcast, finally downloaded and listened to them, and Adam Pierno's podcast. I've been on Adam's podcast, and Mark is fantastic. He's been sharing a lot in such a way that's almost getting a little bit like, oh my God, I should catch up. I'm so behind on my podcast. It's ridiculous. And updating my website, I was looking at all blog posts and posts when I was talking about different kinds of projects and from years ago, things that I just didn't do anything about. I'm like, oh my God, what am I doing? Why am I not progressing on these things? I mean, it's easy to go in a guilt trip. I didn't really go much in a guilt trip, which is one of the benefits of meditation, to be able to catch those thoughts as they come and I have so much more freedom and just like seeing those thoughts, letting them come and go. Same for the body sensations, the feelings, the emotions that come along with it. Not that I'm immune or anything. They're just like they're human. But they don't impact me for as long or as strongly as they might have in the past at all. I recommend meditation. I think the difference that it really makes is if you take it on as a daily practice. Even if you're only doing 5 or 10 minutes a day, it makes a difference to do it every day. Just like almost any practice, to be honest. It's like the more you do it, but the more you do it regularly, I think, in the case of meditation, or at least my opinion about it. And back to Mark, he's been sharing and putting out there so much for the strategy community at large. It's been just really fantastic. The conversation he has are awesome. Highly recommend his podcast, particularly if you're in the creative industries, like in advertising, media, etc. But not only that said, if you're interested in hearing about what goes on in the heads of people who work with brands like I do, on a wide variety of topics, he talks to journalists. Also, that part I really loved. I really loved that he talked to people around the industry, recruiters, journalists, people like that. And he's inquisitive and open and like sharing exactly what he thinks and going into tough questions and topics. And without being difficult, it's just, yeah, I really like the intimate tone of it. I've been enjoying, and I talked about the books of Yuval Noah Harari before, I believe, like the author of Sapiens and Homo Deus. I watched a talk between him with Russell Brand moderating, another person I quite like. Recently, a few other things. What else have I watched? I've been watching occasional Netflix. While I was traveling and skiing, I caught up on a lot of Brooklyn Nine-Nine, just like little bits of sitcom here and there. I watched an awesome movie called Dave Made a Maze. I really liked that. That was pretty cool. American Gods. I just caught up on the first season of American Gods, which I really enjoyed. And Russian Doll as well, that everybody's been talking about. So I just kind of had to watch it. It's pretty quick to watch on Netflix. Recommended. And lately, I've just been watching a couple of the specials of Darren Brown. The psychological illusionist or conjurer is really interesting too. I just like put a mark to add his books to the reading list, even though I'm still reading the same books that I then 2 months ago when I left. But anyway. What else? So I'm looking for work at the moment, as I mentioned, but I'll come back to that. So if you have any work or if you're looking for a freelancer, I'm happy to travel all around the country in the United States or elsewhere. So that's, you know, I'm single. I can travel easily. I'm completely available. So if you need me on a pitch or you need me for a workshop or you need me, you don't know what you need me for, but you're like, I want to talk to this guy. See, I might need a strategist. I am absolutely open to talk, whether you're an agency looking for a freelancer or potential for clients, brands, I'd be more than happy to have a chat. And don't forget to post a review or a rating. If you never have, it makes a hell of a difference. It helps other people find the show. You can also, and it helps, it really, really helps me, encourages me to know that you've appreciated. Every person that actually takes the time to send me a tweet or an email to say, hey, I've really enjoyed your show, it's a huge encouragement to do another episode and to put more effort into it. Even though I know I barely deserve it, I'm not putting a lot of episodes out, but I want to get back on track with it. And my email is Willem, W-I-L-L-E-M, at icecreamforeveryone.net. Icecreamforeveryone.net is the main website that I've just updated with a very simple and fairly sober WordPress theme. I spent a lot of time looking between WordPress, Squarespace, and different solutions. I'm about to change a bit of the copy with this new manifesto, and I'm going to read it to you. So this is what Ice Cream for Everyone is about. Ice Cream for Everyone is a playful strategy consultancy. Ice cream is often associated with happy thoughts and memories, perhaps a childhood, simpler times. Ice cream is also surprisingly complex chemically, technically an emulsion, a combination of two or more liquids that don't normally mix together. Ice cream exists in a seemingly contradictory and ephemeral state, creating a delicious combination as a result. Ice cream requires the right ingredients, methodology, and temperature to go from a complex chemistry to a very simple dessert. Similarly, we use creativity, play, and communication to go from complex situations to simple solutions with our clients. We believe play, communication, and creativity are powerful assets for the development of businesses, brands, and everyone. We believe dogma, bigotry, and blandness are a hindrance to the development of businesses, brands, and everyone. Playful strategy is the application and use of structured play, and sometimes games, to define and solve challenges in a business environment. Playful strategy provides a recreational-oriented state of mind, fostering high levels of reasoning, insightful problem-solving, and empathy for participants. We play with all those elements that don't seem to normally mix together and combine them into powerful ideas with our clients. So that's what it's about. And I have a few words like values. Of course, playful, because it's a playful strategy business, or at least consultancy or freelancer. I'm not sure exactly what to go. It's a mix of all those things. Right now, it's just me, but it might be more than me at some point. But right now, it's just me. So it's obviously playful. It's full of play or fun, sportive, frolicsome. I have these definitions. Pleasantly humorous or jesting. Whimsical. I like whimsical. Playfully quaint or fanciful, especially in an appealing or amusing way. And I went to whimsy. There's a couple of, there's this particular definition that I like the most that I think this focuses on, or I focus on, is an odd or fanciful notion. Entertaining an odd or fanciful notion. Mischievous, there's other synonyms like mischievous, quizzical, curious, droll, fantastical. Another word is thought-provoking. It's obviously portmanteau. Or is it a portmanteau or a double word? I'm not sure. Anyway, stimulating careful consideration or attention. Interesting, provocative, intriguing, stimulating, inspiring. And generous, liberal in giving or sharing, unselfish. Free from meanness or smallness of mind or character, magnanimous. Large, abundant, ample. Synonyms like giving, lavish, magnanimous, free-handed, bountiful, open-handed. So those are the words and values that Ice Cream for Everyone are about and that I'm about. And that's what I want to leave people with when they listen to me or when they interact with Ice Cream for Everyone's stuff, you know, whether it be the podcast, the newsletter, writing, clients that I work with. That's what I want to leave you with. And then there's this notion that I saw on this talk that I was talking about with Yuval, Professor Harari, and Russell Brand. It was with an audience of students organized by Penguin Books in the UK. And a student asked a question about how do you know what discipline to study and where to go if it's all, you know, in the future becoming mixed and melded. And Russell pushes the Harari a little bit. Anyway, and he comes with this idea that I think I've heard it before, but I really liked it. And it's not rocket science either, but I like the way he talked about it. And I was like, oh, yeah, I knew that. A question. Have a question that of something concerning something that really matters to you. And your question becomes your quest, becomes what you're going to be going for across all disciplines to be able to understand it better, because the question that you have is going to cross disciplines. And that one discipline or one area of study won't be sufficient to understand all the ins and outs of it. So I'll be working some more on this. I have a draft for now, but right now it's like, why is play generally distinct and even opposed to work? And how did that start? And is it really? A couple of others kind of like associated questions. Why isn't creativity and play as valued for teenagers and adults as it is for children? Wherever it is, I think it's not even the case for children anymore necessarily. And why don't businesses and brands seem to value creativity and play more? So those now give me, I believe, some focus for who I'm going to be talking to on the podcast. I don't want to lose anything that I've done before, like those kind of open, free form conversations, quite personal about people's stories, lives, what interests them. And I want to start discussing some of those questions with my guests. And now I have a reason why I talk to strategists and why I talk to game designers. Game designers, because play is part of their everyday life and they know the ins and outs of that. Strategists, because they tackle those kinds of questions, and I'm a strategist too, so I want to talk to more strategists around this idea of play and how can it be used to work. And also, strategists are used to pull apart questions and go from defining questions. So I'll be able to hopefully learn more about my own questions in talking to fellow strategists, or at least that's the theory right now. We'll see what comes out of it. And then lastly, I thought I'd share a few personal things. So I mentioned earlier that I first worked on what mattered to me, what I personally believe in. And it's still, you know, it might evolve and I changed my mind about certain things, but I was like, what is really, really important to me? Like what do I think is important? And I don't usually put my own personal opinions out there all that much these days. It feels dangerous, risky, a bit controversial. And at the same time, I usually say myself, and you hear from other people, and I say that, you know, to clients and to brands that they should be standing for something. And that standing for something is to risk being polarizing, and to have people love you means also people might disagree with you, or agree with you and disagree with you, or love you and hate you. You know, you get the idea. So I thought, well, you know, that's also why I included that idea in the manifesto. And it might be, maybe it's a little bit grandiose or bland. I'm not sure exactly. And funny enough, I talk about how blandness and dogma are thing. Anyway, I thought I'd share a few things I believe in. And I'm sure I can write it a lot better. It might sound grandiose. I don't know. I hope it doesn't. But it's structured because I really spent some time writing and rewriting them. And I won't publish them on my podcast. Oh, I am publishing it on my podcast in writing, I guess. I don't think. And not for now. Anyway, I don't know. It's funny how it's, yeah, anyway, I'll just read it. It's not even that great. Or is it? I don't know. Maybe some people, I don't think it's offensive in any kind of way, but maybe it is. I believe we live in a global society, and the sooner we manage human concerns and the environment we live in on a scale of worldwide cooperation, the better. I believe freedom of speech, healthcare, nutritious food, clean water, education, and being loved should be freely available for everyone, everywhere. I believe the most powerful actors at play in society have a responsibility towards its ongoing well-being and long-term development. That means, for example, large corporations and governments towards people, human beings towards other species, and adults towards children. I believe we can foster ideas of different cultures, traditions, languages, and have global cooperation and open borders, or even no borders at all, at the same time. I believe religion has proven to be deadly for enough people over the course of history, and that it's time for humanity to grow out of the idea of it. I think it's an idea of times past, of past times, really. It's just done. And I mean, it might not come as a huge surprise that I'm an atheist. I believe humanity is to be loved and cherished in its many flavors, from whatever you might think is its most ugly to its most beautiful. Because you and I might have different views on what's ugly and horrible and what's beautiful, or what's a great idea or not a great idea. And on that, I think human issues can be resolved in communicating and listening. Ideas and opinions can and should be talked about, debated, argued openly, and at the same time that no idea or opinion justifies intentionally hurting, subjugating, maiming, or killing another human being. I believe science and technology are an integral and beneficial, particularly part of human evolution. Current challenges and opportunities presented by algorithms, artificial intelligence, robotics, biotechnology, media, and a lot more should be rigorously discussed, overseen, scrutinized, and legislated on, like now. I believe in balance, and I like balance, even though it's a completely made-up idea. I think it's a made-up idea, and we made up, as in humans, that because physically some things can be balanced with the same weight and mass, that ideas, principles can be balanced as well. But anyway, I still think it's a nice idea, like enough order to function, enough chaos to create. Enough seriousness to frown or be serious. I don't know how to say it otherwise. Enough humor to laugh. And this idea of play that I put also in the manifesto, that I think play is important, is for all ages and doesn't belong in opposition to work. The fact that it was created in opposition to work came at a certain point in time. And that's something that I'm interested in exploring a lot more. So anyway, here gives you an idea of a few things I believe. That's not all the things, but I think those are the ones that are important to me. I'm not necessarily spending all my time on all of them at all necessarily. But I am looking and curious and interested in dedicating a lot more of my time to maybe one, and I'm not sure which one. Professor Harari in that same talk talks about how humans can achieve a lot more in cooperation with others. And while I'm interested in being a solo freelancer, I do think it's valuable to join or create organizations to work in group to be able to have a lot more impact on what it is that you're into. So I'm still working and developing that exactly what it is going to be. But maybe a little bit more pressing is just right now being active in publishing, finishing to update my website, getting up to speed with writing. I want to do a lot more writing and my reading. And finding some work, essentially, to be honest. So like a lot more contacts, looking for work, contacting agencies, contacting clients, contacting brands, as well as developing a lot more of my service offering. And I'm going to be adding some content to my website for that and probably talking about that a little bit more next time. And contacting future guests for my podcast. So I have a few people that I'm thinking of that I'm lining up. And so that'll come out a little bit sooner. I'm not going to promise any publishing schedule. I'm going to say like promise sooner than 3 months from now with a guest, particularly that I have some time. So I really have very little excuse. But yeah, anyway, I'm not going to bash myself on the head. I hope you enjoyed listening to this and I am going to be back for more very soon. I have a fantastic afternoon, night, morning, whatever time of day or night it is for you. And thanks for listening. All right, bye.